China's deep financial interests across Africa have been growing at a staggering rate. So much so that Africa's even been termed China's second continent in the press. The media have been very vocal about these growing Chinese interests, and I asked Bob Wakesa, a journalist and researcher from Kenya, to describe the tone of the reporting across East Africa.
I think it's a mixed bag of things as far as China is portrayed in East African media. On the one hand, you see some very optimistic reporting or portrayal of China. On the other hand, you see skeptical, pessimistic portrayal of China in terms of what China means to the region. And this will be essentially based on which kind of media one is looking at.
What do you mean by the different kinds of media?
Private media are essentially a mix of positive and negative reporting. State-owned media, particularly broadcasters, that are supposed to be public broadcasters, but in essence are actually the state, extensions of the state, are essentially positive about their relations on all fronts. Essentially, when it comes to political engagement between China and East African countries, the reporting tends to be negative or pessimistic, for that matter. When it comes to economic engagements, particularly with respect to China's foreign direct investment and other business-to-business deals, it tends to be positive. There are particular incidents that kind of trigger negativity in the media again.
Which incidents are you referring to?
For example, last year there was the restaurant saga, if you might recall. You know, there's an incident in which a Chinese restaurant owner was closing the restaurant to Kenyans and allowing only whites, Europeans, Caucasians, Chinese, Indians, and people of lighter skin pigmentation. And this caused so much hullabaloo that actually it trended globally on social media. So incidents such as those trigger negative reporting on China.
Is China's involvement described in the press as a kind of new colonialism?
I think this colonial or neo-colonial sentiment, that new imperialist perspective that scholars and particularly Western leaders talk about, doesn't seem to be reflected that much in East African media, at least on the basis of the media in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda. The criticism doesn't really usually bring a colonial lenses of looking at it. You might recall that about 15 or 16 years ago, there was the Economist story that talked of China as the new colonial power on the African continent. At that point in time, some East African media took up that trope, but it doesn't seem to have stuck. So it appears to me as if the charge of neocolonialism of China in East Africa is more a Western concept than it is an African one.
But Professor Herman Vassenden from the University of Cape Town in South Africa says comparisons to the former colonialism of the European powers are often made in the press.
Yes, the word colonialism and imperialism, those words are often bandied about. I think that comparison, even if it's not maybe a systematic comparison, and the words are, these terms are used fairly loosely, but that certainly is one of the discourses. And I think combined with that is also a sort of orientalist discourse with a sort of distrust of China and maybe the East that sometimes is quite stereotypical and superficial. But there are also, I must say, sort of counter-narratives emerging. There are increasingly other sources, alternative sources of information available where these myths and stereotypes are sort of engaged with and opened up a bit. So there are increasingly, I think, attempts made to provide alternative views and alternative perspectives on this engagement.
And why do you think that reporting on China's involvement is broadly negative?
I think there's a lot of variance in terms of how it gets reported. The overall impression is that the reporting is rather negative or maybe sort of cautious. It's largely also because China's involvement is somewhat of an unknown quantity, just because journalists don't always know what exactly China's intentions are, what they're doing here. And part of that is because China is also not always as transparent about what they're doing here, and it's difficult to gather information. But there would be differences. And as for South Africa, some of the studies that we've done so far were actually somewhat surprising as to our expectations were that South African media would be very negative and very critical of China's involvement. But it seems that there's sort of a cautious optimism as well that China might bring development opportunities, and that there might be good things coming out of this relationship as well. So it's not all negative, but I think maybe one of the questions to ask is whether the way that this gets reported is well informed or not.
And how do journalists go about gathering information when these deals are often so opaque?
Yes, I think a lot of the reporting is done on the basis of, say, press releases, big summits, these sort of big BRICS meetings, etc. And I think where one would like to see more attention being paid is actually on the ground, sort of reporting of journalists going to big projects, maybe journalists just speaking also to some of the migrants and some of the investors, and you know, doing more sort of on the ground reporting. And that I think we haven't seen a lot of. There have been some instances. I think a classic example maybe is Howard French's book on China's Second Continent, where you know it's a journalistic writing, or sort of book-length reporting, I guess, of China's involvement on the continent. And that comes out of a sort of very deep engagement, I think, on the ground. And his book is not terribly positive about this involvement, but, I mean, at least it springs from, a time spent on the ground. And I think as far as general news reporting is concerned, a lot of that is just taken from facts and press releases and information that is circulating. And that is sometimes a bit limiting because China is not always transparent about these sort of investments, sometimes because trade and investment and aid is conflated and there's not always a big distinction made between them. So I think various factors come into play that influence the level of reporting.
Jacinta Mwende Mwayu is from the University of Nairobi. Speaking to me from Kenya's capital, she said she thinks the lack of transparency is the fault of local authorities, not the Chinese companies themselves.
If we have so many Chinese companies, for instance, in Kenya, and they are there, that are involved in infrastructure, for example, now we have the standard gauge railway, then we also do have the Thika Super Highway. Is it public information who these companies are, what they're doing? And I think those questions should be asked to the Kenyan authorities, not the Chinese companies.
Dr. Mwayu has researched the Chinese media presence in Kenya, and I asked her how journalist reports filter through and impact the feeling of the rest of the country.
My findings show that not many people in Kenya are even aware that we do have so many Chinese media outlets in Kenya. In fact, the only idea that ordinary Kenyans have of Chinese media presence would be in the form of the new digital boxes. So then if there is such lack of awareness, especially amongst what would consider as the elite, then I don't think that at the grassroots, anyone is even aware that the Chinese media is here. In terms of economic investment, I think generally most Kenyans do not have a favorable attitude towards that. One, because there is already a prevailing perception about the low quality of Chinese products. And in fact, when I was even asking about Chinese media, people are saying, you know, I don't like Chinese things. I think that negative perception then cuts across, whether it is economic investment or whether it is Chinese media. So there is a bit of suspicion.
As journalists continue to report the increasing investments of Chinese companies across the continent, that awareness will no doubt be on the rise. Yet, without greater transparency and the ability to question those in charge, the media still run the risk of merely circulating press releases more widely.